hello, everybody. Welcome into the NG podcast, where we talk to the next generation about being the next generation in the church. And I am your host, Pastor Tim. No Manny today. I think I'm actually the only one in the building today. And obviously, as you could tell, the smoke is really getting to me. So please don't make fun of my voice too much. But we're actually joined today with a really, really special guest. And I'm really excited about this. His name is Josh from Likewise Worship. And I got to meet him last week when I was in Nashville and hang out with his ministry and just kind of hear what they're doing and see what they're doing, really. And so I've got Josh on. And first off, Josh, let me just like allow you to introduce yourself. So tell us a little bit. Let's see your name, where you're at, because there's some potential that some of you might actually get to meet Josh in person this coming summer. So where you're at, where you're located, what you do for a living, and let's just say favorite ice cream toppings.
Oh, ooh. Well, thanks, Tim. Yeah, my name is Josh. I live in Phoenix, Arizona, so not too far from a lot of you. I'm married. I have two young kids, which is amazing, and I get to work for an incredible ministry called Likewise Worship, and I know we'll talk a little bit more about that. Basically, the gist of what we do is we care for and support worship leaders, and we help them stay in ministry for a long time, and there's lots of things that go into that, but one of the main things is ministry leaders face the issue of burnout a lot. And I think that's a human thing. And it just shows up in different ways in all of our lives. But we get to help worship leaders kind of prevent getting to that point. So it's a little bit about Likewise. And then favorite ice cream toppings. Okay, I always go for M&M's and Kit Kat. M&M's and Kit Kat. That's what I do. If I'm at a frozen yogurt place or something, those always make it in.
So you mentioned frozen yogurt, and I think my wife and maybe a lot of our students would, I don't know if this is a hot take. I don't think that's what that is. I don't actually know what hot takes are, but that's okay. Do you think that for the average person, they actually get frozen yogurt so they can have toppings, or do they get the toppings to make the frozen yogurt better? Because I know for my wife in particular, I think she's more down for the toppings than she is for the frozen yogurt. The frozen yogurt is just what the vessel that she uses for the toppings.
Yeah. So for us, we do frozen yogurt because there's more options, especially having young kids. Like that's the whole part of the experience for us when we go to frozen yogurt is our son Ezra gets to stand up there and tell us what he wants. And if you go to a traditional ice cream place, you get to choose like a topping. And so Froyo creates this whole experience where you're like, no, I get to pick and choose. So I think
whatever you want.
Frozen yogurt.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I think, if you were to do a percentage, with my wife, when she gets frozen yogurt, it's like 20% frozen yogurt, 80% toppings. I think that's her, that's how she balances it, man. I'm kind of the guy that, especially with that frozen yogurt, I've got to have the gummies cause they get kind of more chewy, I guess, when you have those like gummy worms and gummy bears and all that kind of stuff in there. So comment below, what's your frozen yogurt order? But hey, it's good to hear from you. It's good to have you. You're out there in Phoenix. So another desert, just like us, living out here, we get to relate to Jesus in a different way because we live in a place very similar to where he lived. So that's just what I tell people, you know, that when you hear about him being 40 days in the wilderness, you can actually say, oh man, you can really understand why that would be tough. So, cause you can do that too, if you wanted, I don't know why you'd want to, but Josh, I wanted to interview you today. I wanted to talk with you today specifically because of what you mentioned, burnout. And burnout is something that I think most people assume only pastors deal with, right? That when you are a pastor and you're dealing with people and you're dealing with budgets and schedules and logistics and all of that kind of stuff, volunteers or whatever, fundraising, whatever it may be, it's the pastors that feel the burnout. And I think that's true. You know, you specifically ministering to worship pastors, being a music pastor, I could tell you, you know, there is a lot of pressure that causes burnout. And unfortunately, and I don't know if you can agree with this or not, but unfortunately, what I think causes burnout for a lot of people isn't necessarily the ministry. I feel like a lot of times, it's the things around ministry, right? especially for the music side of things. It's making sure that it sounds right and the lights are on cue and the, you know, transitions happen and all of the, you know, the volunteers are there and really the ministry itself is not actually what causes the burnout. And same thing for pastors with what you have to manage. But I wanted to ask you too, how would you define really like what burnout is? 'Cause we'll talk about is it something that our listeners can experience too, even if they're not pastors? But what is burnout? How would you define it? And then what would you say really are the root causes of that in the church?
Yeah, that's a big question. And I think depending on who you talk to, the answers to these questions are going to be a lot different. But when I think of burnout, I think of like an empty shell. I think of an empty shell when I think of burnout, or as if the joy has been kind of sucked out of the room, so to speak. And so a lot of times on the ministry side, everything actually could be going really well. But inside you're disconnected. You can even dread the upcoming weekend or the Sunday morning, or the things that you used to be passionate about, all of a sudden you no longer are passionate about. And a lot of times people don't understand why that's the case, which is a lot of the issue. And a lot of the work that we do with Likewise is helping specifically worship leaders identify some of those things in their lives that could be contributing to those sorts of feelings. But that's probably how I would define it, more of a visual of just kind of a walking shell. That's kind of what burnout feels like. And people have different takes on that, but that's the first thing that came to mind. So, and then remind me the second part of that question.
Yeah. So what is it? But then also like what causes it really? Yeah. You know, and I love that you mentioned that it's an empty shell. And I think that, you know, we were just talking about this yesterday with a couple of people that are feeling like that, you know, that if you were to look around the church and the youth ministry and whatever it may be, things are all going well. It's not like there's anything wrong necessarily. It's just for some reason, you're just kind of in that funk. You've lost that passion and that desire to be there and invest and that excitement really. You know, what's hard about that is sometimes you wish it was caused by an actual problem in the ministry, because then you can just fix the problem and it fixes the burnout. But even if it's not caused by that, so that leads to that next question. Like what would you say are the leading causes? I know that there's probably a ton of different causes, but what would you say like the leading causes of burnout specifically in ministry are?
Yeah, well, there's so many. Again, it depends on your role in the church. It depends on, you know, how many hours you work. Some people are part-time, full-time. But I would say underneath everybody's burnout on some level is this upside-down motivation, I guess. I think of Colossians 3:23, and Paul says to the Colossians, you know, in whatever you do, work heartily, as if working for the Lord and not for men, for the Lord will give you your reward, which is your inheritance. And so when I think about burnout, I think the bottom of the joy, I've heard that phrase used, the foundation, the main reason, if the main reason we're doing something, whether that's ministry or anything else, is anything other than to please God and for the long-term eternal reward, we're going to lose motivation. And I think that's where the burnout starts. You start to ask the questions of, is this making an impact? Why is this happening? So I would say underneath all of these different causes is this root of what are my core motivations for things? And an example of this is, you know, if as a worship leader, since I'm so familiar with that, if my goal every Sunday is to get up and make the music sound as best as I possibly can, and that's my core motivation, and whether that's to make me look good or to feel successful in some way, that bar just keeps getting like higher and higher, and it's never ending, never satisfying. But imagine if I woke up on a Sunday morning and thought to myself, okay, today, God, I'm just going to be content with where I'm at. I'm going to give you my best, and I'm going to be present to today. I think doing anything from that place is kind of a a cushion or a protection against burnout, because your core motivation there is following Jesus and serving him. And so that sets you up for a whole different experience in whatever you're doing.
Yeah. So would you say, and I just uttered this phrase to somebody last night, but church, I believe I read about this in a John MacArthur's book called Worship, actually. And it's something along the lines, I'm paraphrasing, but it's something along the lines of church is not where you go to be blessed. Church is where you go to worship God, and through that you are blessed. So would you say that that kind of misaligned motivation is really at the root of most burnout that we experience in the church?
Yeah, I mean, that's it's so nuanced, like I said, but I think underneath it, if the root of your joy, the thing that makes you happy, the thing that you're after the most, if that is pleasing the Lord, and if that's to actually worship him, that is a way better and more solid foundation than honestly anything else, because eventually you're relying on that thing to satisfy you. And so if you're coming to church every week to get blessed, all of a sudden, there's a bunch of different things that need to go right for me to get that result. And then when one of those things doesn't go right, where they don't play the song that I like, or play the song that I don't like, or, for some people, the older generations, they love hymns, and so that's really special to them. And sometimes younger generations, they don't hear any hymns, and so that would be weird. So if you come with all these preferences, and your goal is to get blessed out of that, you're kind of setting yourself up for some frustration. But if you come to church saying, God, I'm here to give you my attention, to give you my praise, because you're worthy of it, and whatever you want to do inside of me, that's up to you. That's a way healthier way to come to church on a Sunday, for sure.
Yeah, well, and that's the hard part about the American church, you know, is this need for entertainment, or this need for appealing to the consumer. So I guess, like, another question in terms, like, we talked about, like, internally what causes that, right? It's like a misaligned motivation. You have the wrong root of your joy, which I love that the way that you put that, because it grows, right? I mean, a lot of times burnout, those are the branches, right?
Right. The symptoms. Burnout is a symptom.
Yeah, but there is a root cause, no pun intended, but a root cause for that. But what do you think causes that misaligned motivation? Just kind of as you've gotten to counsel and coach and talk with other worship leaders, what external pressure causes that incorrect motivation, or in that root to kind of spawn?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think because of sin, we're now all bent to spend all of our lives trying to make something great of ourselves. I mean, that's just in us. And I feel like the Holy Spirit has to kind of work that out of us. And so really underneath it all is why do I exist? I know that's getting really kind of philosophical, but the to try to simplify a lot of that is internally is, if I exist for me, and I think a lot of Christians will do this. It's like, I become a Christian, so I believe that God now comes into my world to make it better and to make it good. When actually what happens is I become a Christian, and now I come into God's kingdom to serve his purposes. That is a totally different paradigm and dynamic for living life. And so I think that's inside all of us. So then to bring it back to, you know, internally what's happening with burnout, I think identity is a lot of this. You see that a lot, especially with worship pastors, because, you know, you're on the stage and all of a sudden everything you do from stage kind of makes up your identity. So that's kind of related to honestly anybody listening to this, whatever you're passionate about, whatever you're gifted at, whatever you love, if your identity get wraps in that, all of a sudden that thing now exists to serve and uphold your identity and reputation. And so if that's the place that you're coming from, all of a sudden everything rises and falls on your next worship set, your next, you know, football game, you know, all of those things. Your whole life now is rising and falling on your performance or on somebody else's opinion of you. And that's exhausting. And the only people that last really long are typically the people who are really gifted and receive that affirmation, because it kind of keeps them afloat longer, but that's unsustainable for any human being. And the hard part is the more, you know, accolades you receive for being great, the more you feel like you can't actually be honest about who you are, because now all these people have expectations of you and you don't want to disappoint anybody or let anybody down. And so all these things get buried inside and they just kind of eat away at you internally. And that's where you start to see a lot of the dread for things. It's because this thing, whether it's worship leading or whatever part of your life it is, now it's all consuming. And I need it to go very well, or I don't really know who I am. And that's really exhausting for people. And you'll make decisions. Every decision you make is in relation to that. So do I do this extra event at church? You know what I mean? Do I go to this? Even though I'm tired, even though I haven't spent time with, you know, my wife, do I go and go hang out with these people? And so all these things, your motivation is directed at either does my life exist for me or does my life exist, you know, for God?
Well, you mentioned dread, you know, and I don't think that's a good word to use, but I don't think anybody would ever want to admit that they dread ministry. But sometimes, you know, especially in the lowest of lows when it comes to burnout, man, it can feel like dread. You're like, oh, gotta go like do this event. And you're anticipating being tired and you're just not ready to meet, you know, to rise to that occasion, to meet the day. And I love that you mentioned that this is something that's possible for even just the church goer, right? Just even if you're not necessarily serving, I think for a lot of people, especially the longer that you attend the same church, if you feel in that funk or that slump that you're in, that is burnout, there's a lot of temptations. And unfortunately, a lot of times, just personally for me, maybe you can speak to this a little bit, when you start to feel burnout, your immediate thought is, oh, it's time to move on. Mm-hmm. Like maybe it's the location, right? So maybe what's causing this is it's God. And here's what we say a lot, right? And you can speak to this. I think God's calling me somewhere else, right? We say that phrase, God's calling me away because I'm just not feeling it, right? So what would you say to a person that is feeling this and then that's their proposed response is like, well, God's clearly calling me somewhere else because I'm not really feeling it anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whether or not God's calling them to something else, I mean, that's between, you never want to discount that, but to the person who is kind of using that almost as like a scapegoat or something to step into something different, I would just encourage you, don't miss what God might be doing inside of you. I think we tend to equate in our church cultures, we tend to equate God's blessing and favor with things going really well in our lives. So I will know God loves me when everything's going well. When in reality, all it takes is for you to read your Bible for 10 minutes and realize actually that's hardly ever the case. And so you got to root yourself in, just because something's difficult doesn't mean God's not in it. In fact, it might actually be the opposite, and God might have you in that situation for the purpose of doing something inside of you instead of through you. I think we're so obsessed with, God, what do you want to do through me, that we stop paying attention to, God, what do you want to do in me? And it's actually in those moments of, you know, frustration or, you know, dread or feeling like, those are really important times to pause and take inventory and say, you know, God, why am I feeling this way? And what do you want to teach me? And there's something to be said about resilience. You know, I think culturally, we had a generation that stayed in unhealthy situations for way too long. And it cost them their marriages. It cost them their relationships with their children. But then I think we do better at that. But we've swung to like the opposite side, to where now it's like, if it's hard, it must be wrong. And so I think there's a really important middle ground there. And in that middle ground is where God does really, I think, impactful work in our hearts.
Yeah. Yeah. We did a series not too long ago called Cliches. And one of the biggest cliches is, oh, if God closes a door, he opens a window. And, you know, we were actually just talking about this not too long ago that no, sometimes God just closes all the doors and all the windows because he's trying to get you to pay attention to what he has in the room. Even thinking about COVID, everybody wants to get through COVID, but did anybody ever stop to ask what is God wanting of the church? What's God requiring of the church, in this time? Right. And so for a person that feels that way, you know, or that's being tempted to move on. Because the other side of this too is like, oh, well, there's not a really good men's ministry, so I'm going to go to a church that has a men's ministry. And as a pastor, I would say, well, what if, go with me on this, what if you're the person that God's calling to lead that, you know? What if this is actually God calling you to step up? And so for a person that kind of feels like, ah, I just am not getting what I used to out of this church, and so it's time to move on, what would you advise that person or coach that person to do practically, right? When it comes to, you know, just I'm not getting what I used to, and so clearly this is my time to go try the church next door. What would you encourage them and coach them to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a hard one. I would say I would encourage the person to really try to identify what is it they want. Because if it, you know, for in your using your example, you know, if why do they want a men's ministry? Is it because they don't feel like they have community with other men? Is it because, you know, they don't feel like they're, to use that common term, like getting fed in that way? Like, what exactly are they looking for? Because church has become so like program driven that that's how we identify. It's like a menu, right? You go to a restaurant and you're like, you know, this place has this, 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 and this. This other place has this, 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 and this. Then you go decide where, you know, you want to eat. That's a temptation. And so it's really consumer driven. And I think, you know, there's parts of that's helpful, you know, and you think about worship's really important. All of it's really important, but I think trying to identify with those people, what's the underlying motivation? What do you feel like you're really missing out on? And then to your point, is this something I can try to foster or begin myself in our community? So I think getting people to ask those questions, because they're so hardwired to believe that, okay, I can just like shop like I'm at a mall. And the danger in that is you end up missing out on community, right? And it's actually in the community where so much of the teaching and the worship gets worked out and brought to life. And so encouraging people to identify what is it that they feel like they're really longing for, and then seeking them first to do everything in their power to try to find that where they're at, I think is really important.
Yeah, well, and that kind of leads to a natural question, and this could be just a straight yes or no, but can God or does God use seasons of burnout? And if so, like, how does God actually use seasons of burnout for his people?
Yeah, man, you're with all these heavy-hitting questions. For me, this is a little bit of it's a little bit of a theological question. I think honestly, most of our questions are theological and kind of reveal what we believe about God. But what I believe is that God uses all the things, and so none of the things are mistakes. So sure. I think that's also one of the hard parts about particularly ministry leaders experiencing burnout is there's this guilt that comes with it, because you begin ministry with this sense of, man, this is an amazing privilege. Thank you, God, for allowing me to partner with you in this way. And then eventually down the road, you get to, man, I don't want to do this anymore. And that could cause some guilt for some people. And so when it comes to burnout, I think that obviously that's not God's, in a perfect world, God's necessarily desire for everyone.
Sure.
But God, in his wisdom, and I would say in his sovereignty too, absolutely can use burnout for different seasons. And here's the thing is, he's doing all things for two main reasons. He has two aims, right? His aim is always the good of his mission, which is making himself known and glorifying himself, and the good of our soul. And so you have to believe on some level that if I pass through burnout, if I pass through disappointment, if I pass through X, Y, and Z, God can and does use that for the good of my soul. And so there's a lot of, just trusting that, okay, God doesn't waste anything, including the seasons of burnout, including the guilt that is accompanied, you know, with that. Does that answer the question?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it comes down to we have been spoiled by mountaintop experiences, you know, and especially in the American church. How many moments throughout the year do you get to experience mountaintop things, right? Especially for youth, you know, which is the predominant audience of this podcast of, man, I've got camp and I've got the worship trip, you know, or the mission trip, and I've got, you know, youth on Wednesday nights and just all of these mountaintop experiences, right? But then we forget that there's a valley, right? There, there's the valley of the shadow of death, you know, and sometimes in between mountaintops, you can't just hop from mountaintop to mountaintop. You're going to have to walk through the valleys sometime. I mean, that's like, it's that Torrin Wells song, you know, you're the God of the hills and valleys. And, when we hit those valleys, we're like, well, clearly this isn't God, you know, cause
yeah, it's crazy. It's like, why are we surprised? And the reason we're always surprised and shocked is because it reveals this about us. It reveals so much about what we believe about God. And I kind of alluded to this earlier, is in those moments, and I'm talking about my own experience here, is I realize that there's a part of me deep in my heart that believes that God loves me if all goes well with me. Like, sometimes we don't have a category for suffering. And we're taught that suffering's bad because suffering's not great. But we end up taking that and acting as if God can't be involved in that or isn't involved in that. And so we're surprised when the trial comes. But then you read scripture and it's like, okay, rejoice when the trials come.
Right.
So it's not only like they might happen to you. Like Jesus tells us, like, that's probably going to be your experience. And then James tells us when that's your experience, you take joy in it. And that would be a strange encouragement to take joy in something that God himself was not involved in or absent from.
Right.
And so, you know, using that logic, it's we're just so conditioned to believe that because I'm a Christian, my life is just going to be awesome and problem free. I think the quicker we can embrace that that's not always the case, and that God's actual blessing and all of the things he promises us are ours forever at the end of the days, I think we're more bold in our faith. We have more energy. We're further from burnout when we can live in that space.
Yeah, well, and again, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me, right? And then at the end, he says, I know I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, you know, I think, again, it's that misunderstanding of scripture that how could a loving God, how could a loving father treat his kids this way? Well, sometimes as a parent and as a good parent, that involves discipline. That involves learning things the hard way sometimes. And it breaks the heart of the parent. I think that's one thing that we forget is that God did not intend, like you mentioned earlier, God didn't intend for us to experience these things. And that's why Jesus prays what he does in chapter 17 of John, right before he's going to be crucified. The intention was never to feel burnout. The intention was to feel satisfied in the glory of God, right? That you're completely satisfied being in God's presence. Whether the sermon is great, the preaching style is on point, whether the worship pastor is, you know, Phil Wickham's, you know, doppelganger, or whatever it may be, the simple fact of what brings you joy is the fact that you get the opportunity to be in the presence of God, whatever that looks like. That's where I think we've lost that motivation. If you would agree, you know, or just that joy of, you know what, it doesn't matter what the flavor is, as long as I get to be in the presence of the one true God, with open hands and open hearts. So how much would you say, and maybe how, cause funny enough, I know not everybody that listens to this, is actually in the United States. But for us here, what influence does culture have, in terms of causing burnout? Or does it, our surrounding culture outside of our church building, or church local context, how much does that have an influence on burnout, and what do we need to be aware of when it comes to that?
Oh yeah, I totally think culture influences the way we do church, the way we've run our lives. It's funny because it imposes itself on us so much so that we kind of just try to fit Christianity into it. Our discipleship to Jesus, we feel like is an add-on to the life that we're actually living sometimes. And that's a big temptation. But when you just look about like at the workplace right now, that's how it's run, is you climb your way to the top. That's the goal. And that's why you hear so many stories of athletes or, you know, people who get to the tops of these companies and then they finally get there and they're depressed, and that they're, because they fought their whole lives and worked their whole lives for something, and they get there and realize, wait a second, that actually doesn't that actually doesn't satisfy me. And so that's what exists and influences us as human beings. And if we're not careful, we adapt that same mindset and bring it into our ministry lives or our personal lives. And you kind of run on this treadmill until you can't anymore. And so I would say that's a big thing, is if you look at the statistics too, couples are waiting to have kids way longer. And some of them are opting out of having children. A high rate of couples are opting out of having children. A lot of that has to do with finances, because they don't, either don't feel like they can afford it or don't want to afford it. And I was just talking with a leader recently, and we came with this, you know, idea that having a family young is a great discipline, you know, for you, if that's something, you know, you feel like you're ready for, because it ties you and it simplifies your life. And so that's what I think culture does in a large sense, is everyone tells you the world is before you, which is amazing. Like, go achieve your dreams. It's great. I don't want to step on that, but it's paralyzing, because all of a sudden now you have so many options. And these options are exhausting. Should I go down this career path? What school should I go to? Should I hang out with these friends? Should I buy these clothes? Should I? Whoa. And so then it's like, wait a second. I spend my whole, you know, 6 days of my week in that world. Like, it's really not a surprise then that I treat my discipleship to Jesus that way, or I even come to church wearing those glasses as well.
Yeah, well, and again, unfortunately, we're in the worldly culture way more than we are in the church, which is one of the purposes of this podcast, is to combat how much noise you hear outside of a biblical perspective. And again, I think it's ultimately this idea of satisfying the consumer, you know, and if you're not doing what I need you to do, I'm going to move on to the next company that will, you know, you know, it's unfortunate too that we see the church, I think, feeding into that, you know, that instead of, you know, rising up and saying, no, let's teach a better way. Unfortunately, the church, a lot of the church kind of feeds into that concept. And you mentioned the menu mentality of, you know, I need you to have everything to meet my needs so that way I feel happy at the end of a church service. And otherwise, I'm going to go find the place that makes me happy, you know, the place that doesn't judge me, or just whatever it may be. And so, you know, I think it's a difficult topic, and it's hard to deal with, because like you said, there are so many different branches, right? There's so many different ways that burnout can personify. It's kind of like, I think of it as like the Allstate commercials, right? Of our version of mayhem is burnout, right? That so you can be better protected from burnout like me, you know, because it's gonna look differently. And at that root cause, you kill the root and all the branches die with it. And so if you're listening to this and you're walking through that season of just like, maybe you are a ministry leader, maybe you've been leading a Bible study, you've been serving in the youth group, or maybe you're even on our student leadership team for a while, and you just kind of like, man, you've lost that first love, that first joy, that excitement. Or maybe you're a church goer and you've been coming to you've been going to your church for decades or whatever it may be. And it's just kind of lost that luster that it had at the beginning. Be encouraged that's not an accident, right? That it wasn't never God's intention, but it is a wake up call, right? It is an opportunity for you to say, why am I here? Why do I come to church? Is it a selfish reason? Is it something that I want to feel that I'm getting my needs met? Or am I here to worship the one true King? And, you know, maybe what would just immediately solve all burnout issues in all churches across the world is a right motivation to just be in the presence of God, and not focusing on, you know, if you're a worship leader, not focusing on all of the lights and the sound and the organization and the structure and the logistics and all the P's and Q's hitting at the right time. Or maybe you're a church goer and you're not really a big fan of the preaching style or the music style or whatever it may be. The encouragement is, hey, take some time and pray and ask God to give you the right motivation on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night, and be satisfied, seek to be satisfied simply by getting the opportunity to be in the presence of God. So anything on that as you would encourage somebody?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would just say as one last encouragement is, and I think this is part of our challenge, is next Sunday and coming to church once a week for the Sunday experience. Sundays are meant for equipping us to go out and do the work of the ministry, but we often treat it as like our little spiritual gas station. And that's a really difficult place to live. And so my encouragement to you is not to go and try harder to have a right motivation. My encouragement to you is to prioritize being with Jesus. Because what we're talking about is honestly not really a change of mind as much as it is a transformed heart. And so, you know, we could talk about all these things like, you know, burnout and how to avoid, but at the end of the day, when you're talking about posture and motivation and all that stuff, like that's something God's doing in your heart. And so my encouragement would be, yeah, don't feel overwhelmed if you're feeling like that. But just start really simply just prioritizing being with Jesus in prayer, prioritizing his word in your life and soaking in, meditating on it, memorizing scripture. By being with him, you become like him. And I think we try to just get up in the morning and be like him. And then we're frustrated because it doesn't always work out so well. So I would just encourage anybody listening, like before you prioritize trying to change yourself, prioritize being with Jesus. And I think you'll find that he does way more work in us than we realize.
I love that you mentioned not trying harder, right? That is the temptation for everybody. Like, well, maybe I'm just not trying hard enough, right? Or maybe I'm not praying hard enough, or maybe I'm not reading my Bible long enough each day, or whatever it may be. Man, there's a great story in scripture where the disciples go off and then they come back and they're like, well, we did everything that you did, but we weren't able to do what you do. And that was the issue, is they were trying to do it. They weren't allowing God to do it through them. So, man, I love that. I love that you mentioned that. Don't be tempted to just try some ritual to make yourself happier, right? That's just, that honestly, in my opinion, that's going to make things worse because you're going to be even more tired than you already are. Instead, man, seek first his kingdom and the rest will be added to you. That are you truly satisfied simply just being with Jesus, right? Simply spending time with him every day. Because I think no matter what church you go to, that's what you should be looking forward to on a Sunday morning. You know, that's what you should be looking forward to on a Wednesday night, is just, man, we get the chance that a lot of the world has to do in hiding, by the way. You know, like, oh, I didn't like the music. Well, imagine living in a place where if you sang, you would get arrested, right? Like, oh man, there's not enough small groups here for me. Well, imagine a place where you have to hide a Bible out in the wilderness, and you can only go every once in a while for a few hours, because it's illegal. You know, we need to get away from this consumer mentality and just having our needs met, and instead start living the mission of God and living for his purposes. So great, great, great stuff, man. What is something, I guess, like a toolkit, you know, a ministry toolkit for not really preventing burnout, but I want you to go into what Likewise offers to help someone that is experiencing that burnout. Because you, and maybe you can go into this, you guys mentioned this while we were out in Nashville, but there's like that 3 to 4 year spot, right?
Yeah.
And what do you guys do when that person who's experiencing that 3 to 4 year burnout slump, that's tempted to just kind of get out of the ministry, Like, what's your guys' approach practically to help that person stay the course?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what we really need to do first is help them identify, like, what's causing that. And so you really go to the doctor. Think about you, whoever's listening to this. You go to the doctor for one of two reasons. You either go to the doctor because you have a symptom that you need to get checked out, or you go once a year for an annual physical and you get your blood work done. And, you know, they kind of basically check in underneath the surface to make sure nothing's popping up that can come and get you in a few years that you don't know about. And so that's what we really love to do with worship leaders is we created this tool. It's a self-assessment for them. And it kind of helps them assess their health in three different areas, rest, trust, and then their discipleship. So we're trying to get them to think through, you know, am I getting enough physical rest? What my spiritual rest, emotional rest? What does that look like in my life? What are my rhythms? Trust, do I feel trusted by my leadership? Do my volunteers trust me? And then discipleship, is my life known? Is there anything in my life that's hiding in the dark that I haven't shared with anybody? Does my life on stage match my life off stage? And so in any of those three main areas, if there's a lack of health in one of those over time, it's going to lead to symptoms and things like burnout. And so that's kind of our first step, is just hearing people's stories and then kind of helping them dig a little deeper into those three areas. Because a lot of times it can just feel like this anxiety or something inside you, but you can't really put your finger on it. And if you can't put your finger on it, good luck remedying it. And so that's kind of a first step for us, is what's causing this unrest in me? And so we love to not just help worship leaders start to ask those questions. We love walking along the journey with them. So it's not like a personality test where, you know, you take this assessment and then, you know, I'm an Enneagram, you know, 6 or whatever. It's here are some focus areas for you. Let's dive into those together. And so helping them identify some of these sources of burnout, but then getting them into community, whether that's with us or with a cohort of people who have the same focus area, that's really important for us, is helping them identify things, but then giving them a chance to process it with a trusted third party, people who understand the unique challenges worship leaders face, who want to love on them, walk alongside them, and do it in community. So those are really two of kind of the main ways. It's like, let's help you identify, and then let's get you plugged into community. And so we do that through monthly gatherings. We do a lot of one-on-one meetings, discipleship and care with leaders. And then we do an annual retreat every year for worship leaders and their spouses to get away and get some rest. So that's kind of a 30,000 foot view of how we like to approach these types of things with leaders.
Yeah, well, and I hear a lot of echoes, right? Like you say, retreats and taking time to get away. You know, hey, students, people that are listening, take those times, you know, whether it's our fall retreat coming up or summer or whatever it may be, take those times to get away, right? To remove those distractions. And you mentioned it was rest. And what were the other two?
Rest, trust,
and discipleship. Rest, trust. Yeah. I mean, that applies to everybody here. You know, that might be listening, like give yourself, I almost say, hey, go to Likewise's website. And even if you're not a worship leader, take their assessment and try and answer the questions in a context that matches to you, where you're at, you know, just having that tool of just saying like, man, what is it? But I think at the root of that too, and maybe you'll agree with this, you gotta be honest. All right. So when you get that, sometimes you take those personality tests and you answer the questions of what you wish you were, and not who you actually are.
Yeah.
And so, man, answer those questions honestly. And you mentioned, man, a solution being a community that you can trust. You've got to be involved in a small group, and you've got to be open and honest with that small group. And if the only small group community that you're involved in is one that you lead, that's a problem. You've got to be in a small group where you can be led, right? Where you can be open and you can share, whether that's a group of people at your church that you go to their home every week or actually being involved in one of your small groups. This is an incredibly important practice because, again, we're not supposed to be, we're supposed to be glass, right? We need to have people looking through us so that way they can help us expose the cracks and get those things out of our life. So totally. What a practical solution there. So maybe go to Likewise, is it likewiseworship.
Yeah, so you can go to likewiseworship.com. If you're not a worship leader, a lot of the questions you might not know how to answer because it will be geared towards basically sure. how that parts of you show up on a Sunday morning on a stage, how you're leading teams. But yeah, if you wanted to look through it, I'm sure some of those, I mean, especially on the discipleship portion, could be helpful for you just to, even if you wanted to go through it and write down the questions, oh, that works, and make a list yourself to ask yourself periodically. I think those types of self-assessments are really helpful.
Yeah, well, maybe we can make a Google form that kind of deals with this, whatever. Yeah. But again, like, do that assessment often too. You know, that assessment of making sure you're there for the right reasons, making sure you're seeking rest, making sure, man, all three of those parts are so important. So thank you so much, man. And again, like, thanks for hopping on today. And again, like, I know that again, this might be a strange youth podcast, but I think that yes or no, it is possible for a church member to experience burnout.
Oh yeah. Burnout's a human thing.
Yeah. So again, don't be so quick to just move to the next comfortable situation. Ask God why he's having you, what his purpose is in that season of what you're walking through. Go back and listen to this podcast a million times. Get at the root of it, because it's only going to make the church better. If you think of it that way, that we don't need to just all go to the one church that's doing everything right and just let the others dwindle. We need to invest in our local communities of believers, so that way they are heaven on earth. You know, they are God's kingdom as much as possible in our current state while we wait for Jesus. So thanks again, Josh. Again, check out Likewise Worship. Go follow them on Instagram. It's just cool to see what they're doing as being a resource for people in ministry, especially if you're planning. I know we've got a few listeners that are planning on going into worship ministry, going into missions and all of those kinds of things. Check them out, follow them. They've got a lot of really great content to just even start preparing yourself for that life, you know, and really laying that groundwork, laying that right foundation before you get started. So Josh, thank you so much again for hopping on. We've got a gift that's on its way to you. Oh, it's man. Not, I mean, it's not like a Lamborghini, but it's just something to remember your time with the NG podcast. And again, I'm your host. I'm Pastor Tim. I know I might not sound like it because of my nose, but that's okay. We're all dealing with it, right? So stay safe out there, friends. And again, this is the Next Gen podcast where we talk to the next generation. That's you. About actually standing up and being that next generation. So we'll see you next time.